love. Amen. Isn't it so amazing what God has done in our lives? The love that he showed to us. Amen.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted. You were condemned.
Amazing love, amazing love.
To reign and rule with Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen. We do just have one announcement here, and then a prayer request and a testimony. Just a reminder that next week we'll be having two services, no adult Sunday school, regular time service at 10:30, but we'll be having children's Sunday school at 10:30. So, amen, just for the little children there. Amen. We'll be having Brother Ben Narod preaching for us. Amen. So keep him in prayer as he travels, and just that he'd find the mind of God. Amen. And also be with our pastor. He's over in Akron preaching, amen. Or Pennsylvania, not Akron. Next week will be in Akron, so amen. We have one testimony here, praise the Lord. Amen. It says, I just want to say thank you to God for providing the money to get our car fixed and always taking care of our needs. That's from Sister Cindy. She said, God is good, amen. So just give God a round of applause for that, amen. 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 He's always good, amen, all the time. Amen. We also have one prayer request here from Brother Caleb. It says, please pray for my friend Thane. He had cancer and it went away, but it came back. So just keep him in prayer, amen. Just going to ask Brother David Loberger if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer, amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings, amen. Song, his banner over me is love. Amen. I mean, there's no other banner we want to wear but that banner of Christ, his love, that what he gave for us at Calvary, amen, what he's doing for us each and every day, amen.
He brought me to his banqueting table, his banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table, his banner. Thank you.
Let's just sing that song, Ain't It Grand to Be a Christian. How many are glad to be a Christian this morning? Not just today, but every day of the week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen. Until our Lord comes and takes us home. Amen.
Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand?
Rejoicing night and day. just sing that song, We're Together Again, just praising the Lord. As our brother Gabe prepare himself to come, how many come expecting for the Word to do something for you this morning? Amen.
Amen.
We're together again. We're just praising the Lord.
Oh, something good is going to happen, something good, so we're together again, praising the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Something good is going to happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, every time he's here, something good happens.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Happy to be a Christian. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, we got three people happy to be a Christian. Well, hallelujah. Woo! Boy. All right. He's happy to be a Christian. There we go. Praise God. Boy, you make me nervous there. Well, at least two or three will gather there. You'll be here. So. Praise the Lord. Hopefully by the end of the service, rest of you'll be happy to be a Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord. Happy to be with you once again. And trust that something to be said this we good, buddy? Something to be said this morning to be a blessing to you. Praise God. We're having some technical difficulties here. Yeah, brother, I'm plugged in. Sure enough. Yes, sir. Well, we want to send greetings from back home. From the church, Brother Craig, and once again, happy to be with you. And we just have a little something to bring to you this morning. Just been burning on my heart for several weeks, and I had a little PowerPoint, but we can make it work regardless without it. We can. Let's see what maybe we can do this. I really want to get these pictures if at all possible. I really like the visuals. And I trust that all praise God. There we go. There we go. Okay. And so we appreciate God. And just have a little thought on there. I trust that it'll be a blessing to you this morning. I mean, has a need. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we just want to look to him. And I would like to read out of one portion of scripture. It's in Luke chapter 23, a very familiar portion of scripture. Luke 23 and 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him. Amen. You know, that man was in great physical pain. And yet, in all that pain that he was going through, his last dying breaths was in defense of our Savior. And his last few words was a rebuke, protecting and defending our Savior. And he rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly." Now notice what he does. Now he's going into his ministry. You know, maybe he was called to be an evangelist and he ran from it his whole life. But now he's beginning to intercede for Christ in the predicament that he's in. And he says, "We indeed justly, for we receive a due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord." Now we know that the scripture says that his visage was marred more than any other man. And there was many that could see Christ when he was healing and resurrecting the dead and call him Lord. But here was a thief on the cross that saw Christ in his worst condition, if we could say it like that. In a condition that he was not recognizable. But yet this man had an ability to call him Lord. Amen. Amen. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I'd like to speak to you this morning. By the help of the Lord on just a simple little thought of needing a Savior. Needing a Savior. How many needs him this morning? Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we do love you. And God, we just want to look to you this morning and pray that your blessings would flow freely. And God, we pray that as we could shake off, Lord, our heavy hands and, Lord, our cares of life and trials. And, Lord, as we can just focus upon your word, and I pray, God, that, Lord, the people would pull upon, Lord, the gift. And I pray, God, that your word would come forth the way it's intended. Lord, that you would bring deliverance and you'd set captives free. And Lord, that you'd be our Savior today. We love you and praise you, and we ask these things to be so. In the all-sufficient name of Jesus Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated if you like. Needing a Savior. And I love our Lord Jesus, and I'm thankful for him being my Savior. And I hope you don't look at a simple thought like this and overlook it. Because we all needed a Savior. And we all need one today. And I love that picture, because if you look close, in those thorns was reflecting a crown. A King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need a Savior, and we need to let him be a Savior. God, the creator of heaven and earth, when he came in the form of a son to bring deliverance to the world, what I love about God and what gives me such a privilege of serving him is that God would create me and then serve me. That God would create me and mold me and I would fall, but yet his whole purpose was to serve his creation. He came as a servant. Is that right? He didn't come in a great office, but he came in simplicity to serve and redeem and save his creation. You say amen. And so when we look at this, we know, and before I even get in this, I hope you could just break out of our message mentality of putting a stopper on this thought of, Brother Gabe, I was saved before the foundation of the world. Yeah. Come on, somebody, because we all have to, you know, as far as message believers, we all have to fight that, you know, before the foundation of the world, and we start flexing our message muscles, you know, and that is true. I do not diminish that in any way, shape, or form. But remember, that was in the mind of God. And that has to become a manifestation in your life. And if you was saved before the foundation of the world, you will manifest salvation in your life. You will be an expression of a redeemed son of God or daughter of God. But still and yet, I think sometimes we get so predestinated and so elected that we don't need a Savior. Come on, somebody. That's right. I believe that message people as a whole, we lose sight of needing a Savior. I don't know about you, but I was lost at one point in time. I was undone at one point in time. But Christ in his infinite mercy reached down and saved me. Amen. He saved me from a pit of hell. He saved me from myself. He saved me from destruction. He saved me from death, sorrow, sin, and failure. He is my Savior. And Brother Branham tells us, I love this, because when we think sometimes, maybe we can even take it a different angle, that God, we lose sight of him being a Savior. We get a little bit of education, a little bit of understanding upon us, and Savior begins to lose its importance. Brother Branham tells this now. Why that man was more than just a teacher, as people say he is today, a philosopher or a good man or a prophet. He was Emmanuel. He was the Son of God, which is Jehovah God, made manifest in his attributes to display himself in a body that he built. Himself, amen. It reflected, and the sinful nature of a man could not do the thing that he did. So it had to be God making and reflecting himself in the man making a mirror that we might see the perfect man, which is Christ. So when we see Christ displayed on earth, that's a mirror of God reflecting himself in human flesh. Now watch. This doing that reflected, I love these words, his noble, loving character. See, in him was an attribute as a Savior, and it had to display itself. And I, many times we think of us being lost and needing a Savior, but let's step back in God's shoes and look at it from a different point of God needing to save something. God needing to save someone. Is that right? We sometimes, I don't know about you, but I don't believe God is disgruntled to send his son and save the world. God's not a disgruntled Savior that he's tired of saving us out of our troubles. He don't get tired of it, friend, because that's a part of him. He's a Savior. That's his nature. That's just what he does. Come on, somebody. But think of it. So such a simple concept, but let's throw the magnifying glass on it this morning and really begin to look at it, because I think so. Knowledge don't save you. Friend, your understanding of God sending a prophet does not save you. The blood of Jesus Christ saves you. By grace are you saved through faith. You understand what I'm saying? Many people have an understanding and an intellect of the message, but I wonder if they know what true salvation is. I wonder if they really realize what true redemption is. To know him personally, not as just a statement, as a cliche, know him as your Savior. You hear that in any denomination, and maybe even we can say that in message churches, and that loses its glitz. It loses its flair because that's not deep enough, Brother Gabe. But we need him as a Savior. This world is falling fast. Amen. And it's on its road to hell. I need a Savior this morning. You may say, I was saved 5 years ago. But my Bible says today is the day of salvation. Many people were saved 5 years ago. But where are they today? Many people were saved 20 years ago. They walked in the message 30 years. But are they saved right now? Do you understand what I'm saying, friends? What was it? It was intellect. It was mental reasoning. It was knowledge. It was, you know, as much as you want God to save you, he'll save you as much as you want. I don't want, what I'm saying is, I don't want to be just saved from a life of sin. I don't want him just to save me from alcohol and drugs. I don't want him just to save me and give me a good life. I want him to save my soul. And he is the Savior. That's what he is. Every aspect of him, when he lived on life, it was to be a Savior. From the time that he set foot on earth to the time that he went to the grave and rose, it was to express this attribute of being a Savior. Whether it was that lost sheep when he had 99, or when it was Peter, you know, you think of Peter and here he was, but God, even when he made a mistake, God was right there to be a Savior. He was, wherever he was at, it was his whole nature, his whole being was to express a Savior. And right now, the blood of Jesus Christ covers the world, interceding as a Savior. That's what he is. Brother Bram tells us, because in the beginning there was nothing but God. But in God was attributes. His attribute to be Savior. We know it so. He is a Savior that was in him, and there was nothing lost to be saved. In him was attributes to be Father, and there was nothing he could father. In him was attributes to be healer. There was nothing lost, nothing sick. So the only thing he could do was make man on a free basis of free moral agency, knowing that he would do it. God didn't do it himself. Man done it himself. And you're the same way this morning. You can accept life or turn it down. But God made man thus, that he'd knowing he would do it, not willing that they should do it, but knowing he would do it, that it would display his attributes. So there, nothing out of time. Everything is ticking just exactly according to God's great time, PC. This only displays his attributes to select his children who really love him and believe him. And every man has an equal right. You know, we think of salvation, and I wonder, I really started looking at this, and, you know, he saves us not only from our souls, but salvation has so many manifold unfoldings of it throughout our Christian being. He saves us from not having a purpose in life. I don't know about you, but I didn't have a purpose in life till I came to Jesus Christ. But it gave my life purpose. He saved me from a meaningless life. He saved me from a life of substance abuse. He saved me from a life of crime. He saved me from a life of depression. He saved me from a life without something to grab a hold of. See, this Christ gave me something that I could grab a hold of. I always wanted a purpose in life. I always wanted something real because life seems so empty and meaningless. But to me, when Christ came to me, it brought me something tangible. It gave me something to grab a hold of. It gave me something that was real. He gave me something that was true. He gave me something that had meaning. He gave me something that had substance. Amen. He saved us, friends. Well, how many times has he saved us from handling a situation wrong? How many times has he saved us from a nervous breakdown? How many times has he saved us when we said, that's it, I'm calling it quits? Amen. Where would we be without a Savior this morning? Amen. Not only does he save us from hell and torment, but he saves us from a great number of pitfalls in life. But we are so prone to forget and not even catch the fact that he's saving us at that moment. We need to be more conscious that he's an ever-present help in our time of needs. He wants us to be He wants to be needed as the Savior. But many times we want to save ourselves. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that we ourselves were sometimes foolish and disobedient. Verse 3 there, deceived. Well, wait a minute, this is Paul. He was predestinated from the foundation of the world. He was the first, he was the alpha messenger to the church ages. What? You understand what I'm saying, friends? Don't you see how we can get lifted up in ourselves and we lose sight of needing a Savior? We get a little bit of education when we walk around with our Baptist people and we say, oh, look at it, they ain't got no understanding. You still need a Savior. You still need salvation. You show, okay, if we don't, then show me how to get to heaven. Lead me. Show me where to go. What path? Where do I type it in my phone? What's the address? Where's it at on the, where's it on Google Maps? Where do we find it at? How can we get there? Show me, lead me. You can't. Amen. No one knows the way outside of following Jesus Christ. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And he wants to be saved from the wrath that is to come. You know, the Bible simply tells us, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is that simple. It's not complicated. How do you know, friends? Listen, by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It's a gift that God gives you. It's God's grace because he wants to be a Savior. That's what he is. Many times, I don't know about you, but sometimes we lose sight of this. Don't we need to be reminded of something simple like this? You know, because we get caught up in life. We get a few years on us. How long have you been in this, Brother Simon? 2002? Yeah, 11 years, buddy. That's 2001. So we're right there together. And you know what? We get a few years on us. And what happens? We lose sight of the simplicity of needing a Savior. Not about you, but maybe it just me. Because we get a little bit of education on us. We get a little bit of understanding. And then we do something. And we think, I got this. I got this. No, you don't have this. It's the grace of God that has it. We need to be mindful that he is a Savior. And that's what he wants to do. That's his makeup. That's his being. That's what he is. Brother Branham tells us this. If God takes pleasure in people being sick, for he healed the sick whenever he comes into contrast, he healed the sick. Then if it's God's will for people to suffer, then he did. Christ defeated his own will when he came. God don't want you to be sick. God don't put sickness upon you. Well, if it's God's will for me to be healed, no, that's just your lack of faith. I've heard message people say it. Well, if it's God's will for me to be healed, what do you mean? We don't have to question that, friends. Jesus Christ defeated his own purpose. Praise the Lord, friends. That's right. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be whole. God don't want you to be sick. He don't want you to be depressed. He don't put those things on you. Satan does. Amen. He says, oh my, what kind of a gospel would you have? See, God doesn't run off. You wouldn't run your office like that. I wouldn't mine, and you wouldn't yours. How about God running his? See, God works at one purpose. One purpose. That's to save and to be good and to do everything he can. It's his pleasure. But we got that little guppy mentality, Brother Branham says, that's in the ocean saying, oh, I better drink of this water sparingly. Like an itty-bitty mouse, Brother Branham says, in the garners of Egypt, I better eat this grain sparingly. I might run out. Well, you know, remember, Brother Freddie, we're in a great recession. There's no recession in Jesus Christ. There's no depression in Jesus Christ. There's no worry about it. We're not dependent upon Obama's economy. We're dependent upon God's economy. Amen. God will bankrupt heaven before he lets one of his children fail. is one purpose, and that's to save and to be good and to do everything he can. It's his pleasure. What is your pleasure? What's the one thing you find pleasure in? Hobby? Video games? Television? Movies? Internet? Volleyball. First coming to this, I thought, what's volleyball got to be do with being a Christian? Like a message saying, you know, you're getting a message, you got to play volleyball. No scripture on that. Brother Benjamin talk about volleyball. But we think of what is your pleasure? What's the one thing that you get pleasure out of? Now, whatever that is, now let's think about what God gets pleasure out of. His pleasure is to give his blessings bountifully to his people. But we fail because the power is not in the church. Well, if it's God's will for you to be healed, brother. No, let's just interpret that. It's your lack of faith that you've got a question in your mind. Let's just be honest, friends. Let's just be honest. Well, if it's God, no, it is God's will. It's God's will. He said it in his word. It's his will for you to be healed. Come on, friends. But the thing of it is, we're afraid to grab a hold of it, so we have a plan B just in case. And then instead of it falling on our lot of us not having faith, well, it wasn't God's will for you to be healed. No, you just left the book. You just left the scriptures. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be whole. I'll be honest with you, friends. God's not looking at you, and don't get me wrong. I've really been looking at this. God ain't looking at you going, well, boy, you haven't had an HMO. You haven't had a GMO, genetically modified organism, in 90 days. I'm going to make sure you stay healthy. He don't look at you and reward you according to how many GMOs you have and how many hybrids you had. And come on, somebody. God don't do that. God don't reward you because of how much unprocessed food you had and how much you didn't. Come on, man. We got where we at. Don't get me wrong. I'm nothing against that. I wish we had more resources to be able to afford those things. But what about you? But you got to make about $100,000 to afford them things. You got to sacrifice something. You know, the mortgage, the house, the car, to pay for them things. We live in a corrupted society. Nothing against those things, friends. I understand what Brother Branham says. But on the same token, friends, the Bible tells us everything is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You show me where he put it out. I said, well, except for in this last day when they're high bred and all these different things. Praise God. That's exactly right, friends. Now, if you spend all your time at Taco Bell and McDonald's, then I don't know. You ain't been a very good steward of the tabernacle God give you. But don't blame it on all that high bread. That may be a spirit of gluttony you got on yourself that you really need to face facts and be honest. Praise the Lord. You say, oh, Brother Gay, that's exactly right. Friend, think about it. Where we're at. You know, do you know that we are the second fattest nation in the world? We used to be the first, but now Mexico surpassed us. That's right. That's like a month old news. But why is it? Because we're rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. And you know what? Listen, you say, your brother, you may be looking at me around and say, Brother Gabe, you need to practice what you're preaching. That's exactly right, friend. I've been looking at it saying, God, help me. You know, I'll be honest. I've been having some problems with my chest right here. And I really got nervous. And I thought, God, what's wrong? Am I having heart problems? It was really like a tight pain, you know, like a sharp pain. And it's really bothering me. And I started looking at myself, and here I looked at my life, and I thought, Lord, here I'm the fattest I've ever been. Getting ready to get up, hit up to about, I had about 350. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. What's wrong with me? And you know what I did? I started looking at my life. You know, because food is something that you have to partake of. But Satan knows it, and so he uses it. It's not alcohol. It's not cocaine. But people are addicted to food. Food, they call it comfort food. When people are depressed, what do? They don't smoke. I'm a Christian. But they'll pound down them Big Macs. Come on, somebody. I'm just being honest, friends. But you know what? People won't really face facts because Satan comes in such subtlety. Because he'll step into your life on something that may be something that happens naturally. Look at even in the physical realms. Look how he's perverted that. Something that's natural between a man and a wife, but what's he do? He steps in and perverts it. See, and so that's how Satan works, and he's a mastermind at doing it. And I believe the masses are deceived by it because that spirit of gluttony, you know, and what I'm getting to is this. You know, Brother Barron makes a statement. He says, he's talking about where he used to go hunting, and he said, I call it Glutton Hollow. And he said, well, it's really called Dutton Hollow. He said, but the squirrels eat so fast. Now, if you listen to that, the people are laughing. But I don't just laugh. Why is a prophet calling this glutton? Because the squirrels eat so fast. Now, with all this pain that I've been having right here, you know what I did? I started eating slower. I started chewing my food up till it was mush. And you know what? God's healing me. I'm telling you, friends, God's healed me. God's healed me. But you've got to be honest with yourself. And I've seen skinny people just. So don't just look at the 300 pounders and go, yep, there they are. Look at your own self. You understand what I'm saying, friends? Notice what, remember when we was little and you had to chew your food 42 times or however, remember that, Freddie? You're old enough probably. Remember that back way back in the day? Why don't we hear of that anymore? You know why? Because it's gluttony. It's just gobble, 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 and chomp, 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 and fast, paced, hurry, hurry. And it gets you in this insane society of hurry up and move and move. Remember, it's be still. That may not be third pool preaching, friends, but listen, if you apply it to your heart, I believe it'll help you to recognize areas in your life, because to me, I don't want to miss it. And I'm looking at every aspect of my life because I see the subtlety of the enemy, how he gets in so subtle. And it don't take much for him to just start whittling away. And remember, Legion, it started off with one lie. It started off with one sociable drink. And then he had to lie to cover open. Brother Bram said it compounded over and over. Before he knew it, he was in the tombs. Right. And it's the same way, friends, it could just, it could, Satan could keep somebody so bound down with just a depression and things. But God does not want us to be that way. He wants us to overcome, but we've got to have faith. It's not God's fault that we're failing. It's not God's fault that you're not where you want to be. It's not God's fault that you're not farther along in your career. It's not God's fault that you're living paycheck to paycheck. Amen. That's exactly right. God wants us to be prosperous. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be happy. God wants our joy full. God said that He would, above all things, that you would be prosperous and be in health. Now I want you to notice where He says, even as you're so prosperous. So God is not wanting to you just to be saved and skimp by in life. That scripture is to the elect, as you're so prosperous. In other words, as your soul is sealed, you are born again believer, even as thy soul prosperous, but still and yet He wants you to even be abounding by that. What I'm saying is God don't just save you and then make you go through life barely getting by. You say, oh, Brother Gabe, you're preaching. I'm not handing out the offering basket. It's just God's word. I believe in prosperity preaching. Right. Praise God, I do. I do. I believe God's children wants, I believe God wants His children to be prosperous. Thank you, brother. That's right, I just put it up there. That's right. God says it's His good pleasure to give you the Holy Spirit. He wants you. Listen, He wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. He tells you, He's not the bad shepherd. He's got enough confidence to say, hey, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. See, what I want you to realize, and I'm trying, I hope I can deliver it to you. God wants you to be happy. But Satan wants you to think that your misery is God doing it. Satan wants you to think that the things that your trials and the things that you're going through is God punishing you for your past. Don't get me wrong, friend. There is a law. You reap what you sow. It's true enough. Hey, if you don't put anything into it, you don't put anything into this service, guess what? You ain't going to get nothing out. It's God's laws. That's the way God works. But if you look, you say, but I'm struggling. I'm barely getting by, and I'm just having such a problem, all these things. Well, are you paying your tithes? Well, somebody died. There you go. Well, have you gave an offering? I can't afford that. Okay, well. Remember, tithes is just your duty. You haven't given God anything. Praise the Lord. Can I have that back? Thank you. Was that His? No, it was mine. He just gave it to me. Should I give Him a reward for handing that back? No. It was His. That was mine. He just gave it to me. And friend, don't get me wrong. I don't know what happened. I don't know who's, but I'm just saying, there's a law. There's a law. And God works, brother. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a wealthy man, but I testify to this. And I'm not pulling for your money. I'm just saying this. I've seen God work in so many ways to always provide, but I believe it's because I've been faithful. I've been faithful in my tithing and offering. And I believe this, and I'm not talking about so much financially, but I'll be honest with you. I look at my life, and I've not taken care of myself physically. But you know what? I believe God is obligated, and God takes care of me in healthy way and keeps me healthy. I don't have any medical bills. I got good health. My children have good health. Look, you may make $100,000 a year, but if you got poor health, what do you got? You say, oh, we're just barely making it, but do you have any? Well, we don't really have any debt. No, but okay, but what if you had a sickness hit the home? What if somebody gave you a check for $100,000 today? You'd be, woo, hallelujah, Tuesday afternoon. You go to the doctor. Doctor says, yeah, well, kidney. So it's your kidney. You're going to need a transplant. How much is it, Doc? $200,000. Now, where's your $100,000 now? You understand what I'm saying, friends? How many times does God save us from sickness is what I'm saying. How many times does he keep us from fall? How many times has he saved us from an accident? How many times has he saved your child from when they fell, but they really could have got hurt, but it was just a little thump-thump, and you're like, praise God, hallelujah. When really, in essence, they should have broke their neck, or they should have gouged out their eye or something, but instead they just got a little cut, and you put a little salve on it, you know, a little Band-Aid or something, and that was it. It was God that saved you. It was God that saved your children, because that's what he is. He is a savior. That's his whole purpose. That's his whole being. That's exactly what he does. The Bible tells us, not is he a savior just of our soul, but he's our savior in all things. It's exactly what the scripture says. The Bible tells us, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the savior of all men. Now I want you to notice this. What do you mean savior of all the men? Yeah, it's exactly right. But look. Especially of those that believe. You say, well, wait a minute. The savior of all men, how they go to hell? Listen, God will save you as much as you want. Brother Branham said this. He said he's seen prostitutes come through the healing line and get healed. God saved them from that sickness because he's a savior. That's what savior, it's a deliverer, it's a preserver, it's a restoration. And as much as you want, that's why it says, especially to those that believe. Now, if unbelievers have access to this attribute of being a savior, what do we as real believers have access to? God wants us to be saved. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be whole. Amen. It's not him, it's us that lack. It's because we try to do it within ourselves. See, he is a savior. He's a deliverer, a preserver. That's exactly what he does. But the problem of it is, no matter how spiritual you are, you as being a human being, I thought it was very interesting. Brother Bram tells us this, that man's always trying to save himself. And this right here, let me show you, just point this out. He says, the strain of man. Even after nearly 6,000 years, man is still trying to cover his own sins by his own merits. Now, I want you to notice this. If you follow that through the message, type in that strain. And Brother Branham says it over and over and over all throughout the message. And so there is a natural strain that every one of you, I don't care how born again you are, you deal with it. That's the reason why 10 years ago when we got saved, it was so fresh and a message like this was so real. But we get a little bit of age on us and we begin to what? We lean to that strain of wanting to save ourselves, because, Freddie, we know better. We got understanding. We understand. We know. We know the seals. We know God, all the book and the redemption. Oh, yeah. Revelations 5. Hallelujah. Amen. But Tuesday afternoon, we try to save ourselves. We have a situation at work and we're trying to save ourselves in the midst of this. And God's trying to say, no, let me do it. Like, no, I got this, God. How many times, friend, is we say, oh, no, God's not my co-pilot. He's my pilot. But really, in essence, how many times has he said shotgun? You say, oh, no, not me. Yes, because it's the strain of man. Listen, it's just there. You look at a family, and they just have a family strain. They all act like that, right? Some of them don't even know they act like it, but they do. Because it's a family strain. You'll see it in grandpa, and you see it in granddad, and you'll see it in dad, and then the boy, and it's, oh, bless God, I'm not going to be like dad and grandpa when I get old. And guess what? They get 30, 40 years old, they look in the mirror, and they go, oh, God. Because they look in the mirror, and they see grandpa. They look in the mirror when dad used to get on them and say those one words, listen, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. I say, I don't want nothing to cry about. What you talking about, dad? You know what? Ann and Naomi started acting up. You want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. Huh? You said, Brother Gabe, you shouldn't be like that. Why don't you look in the mirror and I guarantee there's something in your closet where you act the same way. Don't point the finger at me, friend. I'm just being honest enough to tell you. Because I look at my life and think, oh, Lord, what's wrong with me? Because it's something that's in nature. It's a strain. It's how we was raised. It's how we was groomed. It's how we grow up. And we're trying to break that cycle. I got strains in my family. I look at myself and say, oh, Lord, if that ain't Janie Naylor, my mama. I look at myself, oh, man, Larry Smith, what are you doing? It's my daddy. They're divorced. But you know what? I'm trying to break them cycles. I'm trying to break that family strain, friends. And all of us, you may not have deal with what I would deal with, but all of us collectively as humanity deal with this strain of wanting to save ourselves. Praise the Lord, friends. We worry and we frazzle and we get frustrated and get all worked up. Brother Branham tells us this, skipping on down to the yellow part. Brother Branham says this, a brother talking to him, he says, well, Brother Branham, I sought the Holy Ghost for 10 years. He said, what's your reasoning about? If you've carried out his plans, then just go on. Then just believe it, see? He laid down the plan and just follow that plan. Then it's got to come out right. If it isn't, then he told something wrong. So he can't tell us nothing wrong and still be God. So you see, you got to believe it's his word or you don't believe it at all. It's not God that's trying to keep it from you. It's because we're trying to do it ourselves. Praise the Lord. It's exactly right, friends. Because we're living in an hour where man is wanting to save themselves. Man is wanting to conquer the world. Man is wanting, Brother Bram says, man, the hour we live, they want a Superman. They want a superhero. But there's only one Superman. His name is Jesus Christ. You know, Brother Bram tells us this, that we're living in an hour where there's a voice of Hollywood. He says, always examine, right there in the first yellow, what you do by the word. The voice of politics, oh my. Some message people, but they'll get fired up. They go right from being a Christian to a Republican when somebody talks about Obama. Woo! That old Republican hair stand up on the back of their neck and they'll be ready. Yeah, I don't bother. Y'all be ashamed of yourself. Like a Republican can do any better. The voice of politics. He said, and we in America, the rest of the world, have a loud speaking voice today. And that's the voice of Hollywood. It's captured the world. Let somebody come out in Hollywood with something and find out if it's all over the country. It's the voice of Hollywood. You know what's sad to say? Well, look at a popular style that the world comes out with. And you'll watch a great majority of the Message sisters will have that same style but have a skirt on. You say, Brother Gates, always getting on the girls. Look at the boys. Them boy, I saw a boy, listen, and you may think I'm legalistic, but that's okay. That's fine. I just, let's get on the men too. And I hope none of you have worn a bow tie. Don't get me wrong, Brother Branham wore bow ties. And I'm not preaching against bow ties. But I'm preaching of the spirit of the age. Because, you know, pop bow ties are in fashion. And them little beanie hats, you know, them old 1960s detective hats, you know, and a bow tie and a little beanie cap and looking all sissified. I'm telling you, now think of it, be honest and look at yourself, look at it. Message people will pattern themselves, you know why? Because it's popular right now. And they'll go to that trend. It's the voice of Hollywood, friends. If you want to wear a bow tie, that's fine. But look at this. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? Does that sound legalistic or does it sound reasonable? See what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong. You've seen me enough. I like to dress. If I'm going to wear a suit, I want to look nice. I have nothing against, you know, looking nice. But be careful because that fashion... It's when fashion comes in and that Hollywood and want to pattern themselves of the trends of the hour and the trends of the day. You see what I'm saying? It's all balanced, but you see people that they go so trendy and it's the new thing and the fandangle thing and they're all, what's it do? It keeps people, where are they getting the pattern, the ideas from? They ain't getting it from the Message. See what it is? It's because they're listening to the voice of Hollywood. They've got their eyes on Facebook and internet and social media and all these things, and it's got them so pulled off into that realm that they're halt between two opinions. How can they listen to the voice of God when they're always in the voice of Hollywood? It's the truth in many ways. You say, Brother, what's wrong with Superman? Do you know that's absolutely Antichrist? Do you know the history of Superman? When Superman originated, study it out, it was actually created by Jerry Siegel and Joel Shuster in the 1930s. And it wasn't supposed to reflect the gospel story, but it was two Jewish teenagers that simply stumbled onto a symbolic plot. They were to create an adventurous tale of an outer world superhero, and they drew from biblical superheroes such as Samson, Moses. The familiar storyline just happened to be one they used because it sounded the most logical way out to express the story of a great hero. Superman's original name came out of the loss of Jerry's father, who was shot to death by a robber at the time when America was battling the Great Depression. Superman story goes something like this. From above, a heavenly father sends his only son to save the earth. And when he comes to earth, he'll be raised by two parents. And originally in the 1930s, his names was Mary and Joseph. Now this is Superman story that really taught me. He says, superhero comes of age and travels through the wilderness at the age of 30. Superman will embark on his public mission. This is the same age as Christ. Even so much so, friends, in 1992, there was the death of Superman, and then Superman resurrects the earth in a storyline, and Superman picks up and returns. And you know what it does? Generations grow up and they go, well, Superman's fake. What about this Superman that Daddy's talking about? What about the Superman that the preacher's talking about? Which one's real? You see how Satan works? Batman, Spider-Man, all of them are saviors of their city. Praise the Lord. Take it for what you want, brother. See how it works? It diminishes. What it does is it blurs the image of Christ. It blurs his power. It blurs the supernatural. And people are so drawn into the voice of Hollywood that it's all fiction. It's no reality. And so then when they come to the realities of Christ, there is this blur. It loses the sincerity, friends, because when they hear about Samson, they think about who? The Incredible Hulk. Legalistic or not, I don't know. I tend to see the working of Satan myself. And it's not what I'm preaching. Because we're living in an hour where there's so many voices and Satan has captivated generations. That's why he starts at a young age. Praise the Lord, friend. It's how the enemy works. And he's always trying, because what does Satan do? Trying to exalt himself above God. And what does Superman do? Where's Christ falling at? Even this movie, The Man of Steel, they were talking about the imagery. If you study about this, it's all over the internet. It's an easy study where Superman is laying in the shape of a crucifix, and He's talking to somebody in crisis in the background. There's all this imagery where this man of steel is expressing Jesus Christ. And it's nothing, and the religious world is gobbling it up, thinking it's spiritual. And it's all nothing but blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's the voice of Hollywood. It's the voice of Hollywood, friends. It's just the hour that we live. And there's so much chaos. Brother Branham said there's so many false voices. And that's exactly what it is. There's so many impersonations. There's so much. Praise God. You know, man as a whole has always wanted their 15 minutes of fame because they want to be seen, they want to be known, and they want to be heard. What's Facebook? You can have your 15 minutes of fame every time you log in. You have your soapbox. You have your pulpit. And what it is it becomes your own individual reality world. It's your own show. The masses are hungering to be on a reality show. What is it? It's to express yourself. And how well you've look at how happy I am, brother Freddie. You got to look at my girls. Look how cute they are, brother. Look how perfect my family is, Freddie. Look, watch this video. Matter of fact, watch them all. Isn't that the fundamentals of it? But see, it steps in so subtle. So subtle, friends. And if you can keep it in balance, praise God. But I venture to say the masses are unbalanced with it. The masses are unbalanced with it. I saw a message preacher. I don't know if I told you this or not, but you know, I joined Facebook for half an hour. because I wanted to know what I was talking about. You know what I saw? I got on a message preacher's profile, or whatever you want to call it. And on his, he had his picture and had all his family and videos. And down here on the bottom, they had pictures of his friends. And there was a picture of a woman in a bikini. Now, if you're saying, well, what's wrong with that? Shame on you. Shame on you. But people are so numb to it. People are numb to it. I don't care if it was my mama. If she couldn't be my friend and have clothes on, she wouldn't be my friend on Facebook. Because when I'm putting something out there saying, this is me, I'm condoning what I put on there. And this man had a woman in a bikini. I don't care if it was her aunt, uncle, mama, dad, whoever. You said, Brother Gabe, I don't want to offend them, but look at what people are doing. They are so trapped into this Facebook phenomenon that they're diminishing the standard of a Christian believer. Do you understand what I'm saying, friends? Look at how the enemy. You say, Brother Gabe, this is so simple. But look at the masses. They could probably outquote you. They can tell you about the seals. They can tell you about the trumpets. They can tell you about Daniel 70 weeks. They can preach to you. But what are they really expressing? Do you think Brother Branham would have a Facebook page with a bikini woman on it? Do you really? Do you really think it? Do you think Christ would? Do you think Christ at 33... Do you think at 30, at 29, he'd be Facebooking and have his family lineage and one of them that's backslid in a bikini and he'd have them right there? Do you really? No. No. We're supposed to shun the very appearance of evil. But notice Satan creeps in. Listen, we're called to live a separated life, not try to get all entangled up in how many friends we got and how we're connected. We're supposed to live separate from the world. But Satan has webbed us into this. You know that's why they named it the web? Look at the history. They named it the web because they wanted people to enter in and get caught and never leave. That's history. You can Google that and find that. That's not me. That's just history. And notice what Satan has done. He went from the movie theaters to a television to a monitor. It's the hour that we live, friends. And it's not legalism. I'm telling you, this is sane, sober gospel teaching for our hour, for our day. Because Satan has come in such a subtlety, and he's diminished our Savior by putting all kinds of pictures and imagery that has blurred the image of Christ. Amen. Praise God. When Christ, thank you, brother. Send me a text tomorrow. I'm going to need it. I tell you, brother, anybody get to Monday morning preacher and lose, I do, bro. I feel so bad. I don't mean to say it like this. And I want to say it loyal, friends. And if I'm legalist, you come to me and tell me. Show me where I'm legalist, and because I want to be right. But I don't believe the Holy Ghost that I have. The Holy Ghost that God has shown me, when I see those things, it grieves me because it doesn't match the Word of God. It just doesn't. It don't. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we have ups and downs. You know what I love about Peter is, you know, in one phase of his walk towards Christ, he was expressing a Son of God. Defying nature. And a few moments later, he was expressing a sinner sinking in sin. But Jesus didn't so much as throw him away. But Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said unto them, O thou of little faith, why'd you doubt? You know, it doesn't say what they talked about whenever they were walking to the ship. But the Bible says this, that when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So when Christ restored him, I wonder if he grabbed him by the hand. I wonder if he put his arm around him. But he didn't let the wind stop when he restored him. See, because Jesus wanted to show him how to do it. Woo! Oh, but I feel like just running the aisles right now. Oh, my. And can you imagine? How long was it? How long of a walk was it? And he's walking with Peter. What did he say? Or did he just walk with him and show him how to do it? Did he keep him? I venture to say he had at least a tight grip on his hand. And all that wind was a wrestling. Still all worked up. Same problems. The trial didn't change. The financial problem didn't go away. The depression was still there. You know, Brother Branham, listen, friends, sometimes God lets us deal with those things and he don't give us so much as we try to get out of our problems. But you know what? Sometimes God leaves them there for a purpose. You say, oh, where you get that from? Remember, Brother Branham talked about he used to have that overwhelming feeling. I can't remember the word right now that escapes me, but it was like a stress or a pressure. Anybody remember the story? And he used to get all, he'd be all worked up, and I can't remember. Anybody, kind of like an anxiety feeling. Maybe it'll come to me later, but he would have it. And he said it would just, it almost break him. And he said he sought the Lord for it, and God told him, he said, it'll never bother you anymore. And he said, after that time, he said, I know it's there, but it doesn't bother me anymore. I wish I could remember the word that he used, but I could find it for you. But he says, I know it's there. Tension. He said, attention. It was attention, and there's always tension. He said it'd be so much it almost break him. And he says, it never got to that level anymore, but the tension never diminished. Now I'm not talking about, you know, some lustful spirit. I'm talking about something we go through life, maybe a family strain, and you know it's there, but it won't bother you anymore. You'll have the ability to separate yourself from this. We're supposed to put this flesh under subjection, friends. And I wonder if sometimes we're trying to walk in a realm that we're never going to attain until we get a body change. We're going to have to deal with this thing. The whole point is to put this body under our foot by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. God has a way. God has a provided way. God is a Savior. He wants to save. That's what He's called to do. That is what He is, to be a Savior. But the problem of it is the world wants to do it their own way. And Brother Branham tells us this. They didn't want it the way God wanted to send it. They wanted it the way they wanted it. And I wonder how many times Christ, I love this picture. You know, because I'm sure there's times that he just kind of hung his head and said, why won't they? Why won't they get it? Nobody's ever felt like that. You know, he sat on a hill one time and wept over it. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He knows, friends, what we go through. Why? Because he was a Savior, but they wouldn't receive him the way God sent him. He's built for salvation. He's made for salvation. That's what he is to save. and his whole ministry was to save. And when we think of the woman at the well, you know, the Bible says he had a need to go by Samaria. And Brother Branham said that he was on his way to Jericho. He was on his way to Jericho. But see, he had a need to go by Samaria. See, Christ was on his road to Jericho, but he had a need to go to Samaria. Now, why would Brother Branham say that? Because somebody would look on the map and go, oh, for a woman that had five husbands and the sixth one she was living with wasn't her husband? He didn't hop in air conditioning. He had a need to go to Samaria. He was on his road to Jericho. Come on, friends. That wasn't just a jaunt. That wasn't a hop, skip, and a jump. He's on his road to Jericho, and what's he do? He goes way out of his way because of ill-famed woman. See, we was lost. We was undone. Somebody look at it and say, well, ain't no value in you. Look at your life. Or you, worthless. Same way that woman. Five husbands. I wonder what message people would do with a woman that was married five times and living with a man that... I wonder. I wonder what they would do. Would they sit next to him in church? Would they hug their neck in the vestibule? But Jesus went way out of his way. That's about three times the length there, three times the length back, journey. He went way out of his way because of the cry. One harlot. Why? Because he's a savior. And by the way, that woman, that harlot, touched the bride of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. Amen. Because one day we met the seventh man too. And that was an invisible union. That was an invisible union that brought restoration to that woman that was of ill fame. And she had a message afterwards, come see a man. And that's what our message is. The Spirit and the bride say, come see a man. Prophesy thou to many people, kindreds, nations, and tongues. We was all lost and undone, friends. We was all sinners most miserable. But God had a purpose in doing it, in saving us. He seen something in me. He seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Look at the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions he could have took besides you, but he took you. Look at the millions he could have saved. Look at the millions besides you, but he took you. Amen. No one can take your place. Amen. You're in God's economy. No one can do it. That's his love to you. Then you won't let your love reach back to him. And there's a love. It says, Then won't your love reach back to him, and there's a love affair. No matter what the situation is, its circumstances is governed by this love that creates faith. That God loves you, and you love God, and you love one another, and that brings the faith. I'm so grateful for a saving hand. I don't know about you, but I need a Savior today. I needed him to save me from this afternoon. I need him to save me from this evening on my road home. I need him to save my children. I know they're under the blood. We applied the token, but I need him to save them. I need them to have an experience. I need them to know this real salvation if God tarries. I need his love. I need his mercy. I need his grace. I need him to be my Savior. I can't make it without him, friends. I'll be honest with you. Christ has given me something that I'll never be able to repay. If I knew that I was hellbound, I would still be grateful for what he's done for me. Because he's gave my life such a meaning. He's gave me such this message, it's a reality. It's actually, and you understand, real believers know what I'm talking about. To me, it's more than quotes. It's more than doctrines and files and, you know, trying to get it all lined out so perfectly. To me, friends, it's the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I'm catching glimpses of them every day, and every time I see something, it's something that's real. It's something that has meaning in a world that is groping for something, and it's all just like sand falling through their fingers, and they never can attain to it. But to me, this message means something, because the message is Jesus Christ. And I believe God is trying to, God's trying to get something to us. You know, in the midst of all this confusion that's going on and all the shakeup that's going on amongst our ranks and, you know, people's on the internet and searching things out and questioning. And, you know, that's how Satan worked at the beginning. It was just to give Eve a question. Surely God won't do it. And he distracted her with a question. She fell from grace. And the same thing is happening today. The internet has caused such a damage, or not a damage, but such a hardship amongst us. With, you know, I hear brothers, and you know, and you'll see young people, and here they are, young Christians, and there's all this commotion and confusion going on, and I feel for them, because it's got to be troubling to a young Christian. It's getting shaken up. Well, is it right? Oh, what about this? What about that? And all these different things. But to me, when all that happens, to me, it makes me go right back to this simple little thought like this. I need a Savior. I was lost when I came into this message, and I know it saved me. Not doctrine. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm not saved by a quote. I'm not saved by any of my merits. It's God's grace that has changed me and made me something different than what I was. I couldn't save myself. That's why I needed a Savior. I believe in this last day, with all the confusion, anytime there's something, commotion or confusion goes on amongst our ranks, you know what I do? I get real simple. Just try to get real little and real simple and go right back to basics. Because when we try to get so elevated and revelated and people's trying to put, listen, I can't save you. I can't make you get to heaven. Neither can you make me get to heaven. I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. I need somebody that's going to help me in the midst of all this darkness. I need somebody that's going to take my hand and pull me up whenever I start sinking in the depths of the sea. That's what he's called to do. That's what he is. And I'm called to reach back out to him and say, Lord, save me. How many wants him as your Savior this morning? Let's all stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope Noah's wasn't some deep mystery. Well, I guess the salvation is a mystery. But it's just the simplicity of the gospel, friends. And I hope I'm not a legalist. I'm trusting that I'm one of God's children and that I'm on the right road. And you can only believe it the way you see it. You can only believe it the way God reveals it to you. But what revelation you have and what direction you have in life, you've got a roadmap you can go back to make sure. You know, sometimes we can get in our pockets and we pull out the GPS and we'll go, man, that just don't look right. But there's an old faithful. Yeah, there's an old color map of black and white you can go back to and you look out here and say, well, okay, it does look right. You got to go back to something solid that's been around for a while. I think we all need to go back to this. Go back to the Word of God and get away from all this technology and thing and realize that it's just Satan trying to cause questions and distractions. When it's all settled, when it's all said and done, I need a Savior. I need him to be real to me. I need him to show me the road because I can't make heaven without him. I don't know how to get there outside just following the basic fundamentals of Christianity. My everyday life will testify of what I am. I don't care what I know and what I'm going through. My feelings mean nothing. But how am I handling the tension in my life? How am I handling the pressures in my life? How am I acting? How am I interacting with my family? How am I interacting with my coworkers? Do we have to flip a switch on whenever we go to work and flip a switch on when we go to church? Are we more listening to the messages and getting so indoctrinated with organic food and all, to where we, wait a minute, sanctified by the Word of God in prayer? It's balance, friends. It's balance. It's balance. You understand what I'm saying? We can eat all the organic food that we want to, but if we never pray over it, it's going to send us to hell anyways. Sickness is coming. You know, brother, we can eat all. Brother, you know what Brother Branham said causes cancer? Worry. You know what else he said causes cancer? Temper. What he said? I think a prophet of God that's seen hundreds upon hundreds come through the discernment lines and tapped into that unknown knows what the cause of cancer is. Nothing against all those things, friends. I'm just looking at all these basics. I'm looking at what message people are doing and all these different things are going on. I'm going, wait a minute. We've got to have a voice. Where do we go in this? Which way do we go? It seems unbalanced here and there. And wait a minute. I can't save myself. The whole world's contaminated, but I can't go back to the Word of God. That's all we can hold to, friends. I need him to be my Savior. I need him to save me when I eat. I need him to save me from my 350-pound problem. You may have a 155-pound problem. Whatever it may be, friends. Listen, we got to look at ourselves. It's just these little simple things that we got to go back to the basics and go, wait a minute, what's going on? Where am I at? Where am I at in this walk? Where am I at, Lord? What are you doing in my life? What do I need to do? We need to take inventory when all these things are going on, all these confusions and all these different things and people all worked up. Let's just go back to basics. Let's go back to basics. I don't need Allah. I don't need Muhammad. I don't need Buddha. I don't need a Baptist. I don't need Pentecostal. I don't need a message church. I need Jesus Christ. I need Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. It's just He and I. When He comes back, He's coming back for me. If there's going to be one, it's going to be me. That's how we got to live, right? That's how we got to believe it. It's going to be me. I'm going to be the one that He's coming back for. That's the faith. He's coming back for faith. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. How many has a need? The uplifted hand. Precious Lord, we do love You, God, this morning. And Lord, just a simple, Lord, little thought. And God, I just fundamental basics, Lord, of this thing called life that we live in. Lord, we see the corruption on every hand. And Lord, we see the enemy coming in such subtlety and how he likes to get us worked up in so many ways, Lord. Something so simple as the food that we eat. But God, You are our Savior. You are the one that sanctifies and purifies. And God, if we'd drink any deadly thing, it wouldn't harm us. And Lord Jesus, we just bow before You and pray, God, that You would sanctify our hands, sanctify our feet, Lord, and sanctify our minds and our bodies and, Lord, all our being. That it would be, Lord, in service for You. God, that You would just be our Savior afresh today. God, we're grateful for what You've done for us, Lord. Lord, in my experience, I know You saved me in 2001. And as Brother Simon said, 2002. And God, You're still a Savior in 2013. Lord, many have started off strong, but they didn't finish the race and the course that's set before them. God, we want the real salvation, Lord, not just saved like a foolish virgin, but Lord, we want to be the redeemed, Lord, bride, word, seed, Lord God, that You had in Your mind before the world ever was. Father, we just need Your grace, Your mercy, Lord, to reach down and give us, Lord, a light shined on a path so that we'd know how to walk, Lord, with so many voices, so many Supermans and Lord, the voice of Hollywood and the voice of the internet and so many distractions that's going on, Lord, even amongst our ranks, God, but we want to look to You. We pray, God, that You would just be merciful to us, Lord. Let us hear Your voice, Lord. Let us hear the trueness of Your word. Let us go back, Lord, to just the simplicity, Lord, just the ABCs, fundamentals, Lord. God, when You come back, You're not coming back for theology or files in a computer and gigabytes and rams and all these things, but You're coming back for simple faith. God, I pray, Lord, that faith would be found in us. Lord, I pray for each one here. Lord, You've seen the cry of that heart, Lord, that was under, Lord, that hand that was raised. And I just pray that You would meet their needs, Lord. And God, we love You and we praise You and we just commit all these things into Your hands. Pray Your blessings would flow freely. We ask these things to be so in the name that's above every name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's good to us, isn't He? How many is happy to be a Christian? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song. As we have Brother Dave come, I want to live the way He wants me to live. Know that song? Amen. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to live until there's just no more to want to love till there's more love I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
He wants me to live, I want to give until there's just no
Savior. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come forth this time. Amen.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Oh, and hear my humble cry.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And wasn't that wonderful, saints? Amen. Talk about needing a Savior. Amen. If it seems the things seem hard that he preached, that's what God was doing today, saving you from those things that was that he was preaching to us. Amen. Amen. God is so good to us, saints. Such a gracious God. Amen. Let's just sing that song. If you can give me a B flat, I don't know if you guys know the song or not, but when he reached down his hand for me, I'm just so glad he reached down his hand for you. Amen.
Once my soul was astray, oh, from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. When he reached,